This is part two of Some of My Best Friends Are Racist. Something I say lovingly and tongue-in-cheek. A series of podcasts I'm doing about how I'm learning to wrap my brain around taking responsibility for having difficult conversations with friends about race. Hello, everybody. This is Streaming Consciousness, your girl. I don't know. That doesn't sound right for me. I'm 46 years old. I'm far too old to be anybody's, you know, your girl. It doesn't even sound right. I have to think about that. Age is something I'm thinking about a lot lately because of nobody tells you that there is no moment really that you realize that you're a grown up. Nobody tells you that, you know, you feel like it has happened. I am a grown up. You just realize you're no longer a kid. It's just like one day this horrible shock comes upon you and people are looking at you and like, I was looking for somebody to find a grown up to deal with this, but apparently everybody's looking at me because I am now the oldest person in the room. How did that happen? All right. So, I've had a lot of things I wanted to talk about because, you know, lots of things that have come into my mind as interesting or topics that were pressing on me. This is all about me. I'm sorry that you guys are, you know, putting up with this. Oh dear. All right. So, I have friends. I grew up in, after several false starts, here we go. I was raised, I would say, pretty much marinating in whiteness. I'm a chocolate skin, black girl, woman who grew up in a place that was very white. It was also mostly Mormon run, partly military, you know, near a military base because, you know, my dad retired there, and that's where most of my family retired to after leaving the service. So we all lived in this town, and this would be 1978 or 79 that we moved there, which would be about 4 or 5 years after Mormons decided that I had a soul. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of ignorance. There was a lot of like crazy things that people would say to you and crazy things that people thought. And you were sort of, and you know, I had a very strong, you know, faith community. My faith, very, very much about, you know, what we were taught was about impartiality and how evil prejudice was, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that most of the white people in the congregation, they did their best. But what they mostly did was, as I said last week, they would tell themselves they weren't racist and end the conversation. There wasn't a lot that I could see. There were some people who had, you know, really like virulent racist ideology, because remember, it's a military town. So people are there from all over the country who have retired there. So like those guys actually did a little better than the ones who never knew that they had racial issues. Because they were looking at, and they were like paying attention to themselves, and they were, you know, they had to root something out, and they were, they did not always, like, I'm sure that there were some who did, but there were a lot who did not assume that they were not racist because it's bad and because they're a good person. So most of the friendships that I had were with people, you know, most of my friends were white, have always been, mostly. I mean, I had a nice little United Nations going of, you know, Latino and what else? Latino and Black and Asian and, you know, the whole gamut. Asian of several different types. So there was just, it was very much a, our next door neighbors were Native American. I mean, it was a very, for me, my life has always been lived in full color. So, but a lot of my friends were white. And in each of them, one of the things that you learn as a person, right, being raised and going to school and learning about humanity and learning about life and going to work and trying to get a job and trying to get an apartment and all of those things. One of the things that I encountered a lot was the effect of my Blackness on white people. And I think that's where people get mixed up. There's this idea afoot that, you know, for Black people, we have, you know, all this, you know, we constantly think about our race and et cetera. I never did. I never thought about, I didn't even know I was Black. Didn't know it until the first time a kid called me a nigger. And I'm going to tell you, that is the least of my problems. The least problematic people are the people who call you a nigger up front, because then you know where you are and who to discard and who to watch out for. The more difficult situations are those who view themselves as very, very open-minded and accepting of everybody, and I don't see color and I'm colorblind. Those people are very difficult, and those are mostly the types of people who are my friends. So I would notice that all the little racist kinds of ideas, and there aren't that many varieties of it, and that's what's so kind of hilarious to me whenever, you know, somebody's trying to be an edgelord or is trying to make a ha-ha-ha funny joke because, you know, they're white and I'm Black, and of course I've never heard this one before, but of course I have. I've heard them all many times. And it doesn't make you different, and it doesn't make you cute, and it doesn't make you unusual to tell those jokes. I am so sorry. You have just proved your belonging to a group by expressing yourself that way to me. But anyway, so lots of white friends. And there was no question of attempting a conversation in which I say to them, hey, I notice that when your husband made that joke at my expense, you said nothing. You know, when I came in your door and your husband told me, you know, watch out, there's this Black girl here. Look out, she's going to steal something. You know, him, he's a jackass. I kind of expect it from him. But you said nothing to me, not at the time, not afterward, that kind of stuff. Because to me, racism really isn't about like hating someone. It's about being willing to sacrifice another person's humanity for your convenience. Most of the time when people have done or said things that have been racially a problem for me, it has not been because they're mean. It has not been because they are hateful and they have the hearts full of the KKK. It has simply been because it was easier. You know, I tried explaining to someone once, but it is like this. It is like the people who touch my hair. So I wear natural hair. I have since, you know, I was pretty young. And very, very nice white ladies and sometimes men would walk up and touch my hair. And I knew, just, you know, from looking at them, from the way they spoke, I knew that these were like people who considered themselves very open-minded and very liberal and all this stuff. But such is the power of racial unconsciousness, unconscious racism, that even though they are the sort of person who would likely, in any other circumstances, if you were to say, is it okay to walk up to someone and touch them without permission, would say, absolutely not. That is horrible. I can't believe, and that is the response I get whenever I tell a white friend about, you know, having my hair touched. And I would say, every time I tell that story to a white friend, I can feel them attempting to push the person's behavior away from themselves by being super outraged by it. And the point that I'm trying to make to them is that this person is no different from you. It isn't that they hate me. It isn't that they consciously think less of me. It's just that I exist in their brain in a different category where normal social norms do not apply. And they are unaware of that. And they're unaware of it. And then they act on it. And they remain, and then they go back. And it's not like it wakes them up. It doesn't, you know, because very often someone walk up, touch your hair, and just keep going. Or as my, you know, one woman, you know, my mom sat her down and had a little talk about natural hair, about black hair and the differences, and ended it with, well, maybe next time, you know, if you're curious, you might want to ask the person if you can touch their hair, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it is the fact that you exist in their brain in like a different place. And when they attempt to interact with you, it can go fine almost all the time. And then a particular switch gets tripped and suddenly you and they are plunged into their unconscious racism. And neither of you really knows what to do with it. For me, growing up with white friends, white girlfriends, the possibility of like having a conversation to say, I noticed that there is some weirdness about you when you mention this particular black actor or any black actor. I noticed that there is a particular kind of weirdness about, you know, you finding this particular joke funny. I noticed that it was not something that I could say. It wasn't something that I knew that I could do then, because of course I grew up in a time in a town where it was still not uncommon practice to be seated last. And this is in Northern California. If you were a black person and you came into the Denny's, it was not uncommon. I have vivid memories of one such instance. I just learned about fare and I was obsessed with fare. I was like, you know, what's whose turn? What's fare? What's right? Hi, you guys. Hi, Pink. Hi, Bee. Is it Bee or... Pink Squirrel and Fox. Welcome. Thank you. So I was obsessed with fare. And I remember we were sitting in a Denny's. And at all times, I like to know whose turn it was. And I watched someone get seated who arrived after we did. And then I watched someone else be seated who arrived after we did. And we're out to breakfast with my dad. And I say to my dad, what's going on? And I could tell, I mean, now looking back, I recognize what it was, that he was just a dude who wanted to give his kids a pancake breakfast. He did not want to have to do black today. But because his daughter noticed what was happening, he couldn't not address it. So, you know, he talked to the hostess. The hostess gave him flack. He talked to the manager, who seated us immediately and apologized. So this is where I grew up. So the idea of having a conversation with a friend who is white, who has like prejudices and stereotypes and attitudes and feelings all stocked up, that they're not talking to themselves about, it was just a crazy idea. Because to me, I just assumed that all white people were a little racist. And frankly, I do. I think that everybody's a little racist. I mean, this is me using the word broadly. you know, not talking about structural inequity and all the, you know, the technical definition of racism that we've come to accept. This is me just talking about like racial attitudes. We all have areas where we're like a little weird. We all have those moments where we think the thing that we shouldn't think. And I'm frustrated. I'm so tired of white people acting like they are separate from that condition. They are not. If I'm not, then you're certainly not. I'm here just like you, listening to all the anti-blackness. I have seen all the videos of the 6 o'clock news with black guys being locked up. I have seen the television shows where the black guy gets killed first, or he's a criminal, or, you know, no matter how high he's flown, he's always come from like the hood. I mean, you know, where really what we know to be the truth is like for most like upper people, black people who reach the upper class, most of them, they come from at least middle class or upper middle class or upper class. You know, they're not coming from the hood. So it is one of those things that, oh, you agree? Yes, communication. So I receive all those images too, and they affect me. I have anti-blackness and I am black. Not all of it, but you know, some of my family is white, but almost all of my family is black. All of the men who loved me, who set me back on my feet after I'd fallen down are black men. My father is very dark, okay? So I have no excuse for having any anti-blackness in my soul, except for the fact that the media kind of feeds you a constant drip of it. So if I have a problem, of course, if you're white, you're going to have issues. And if you're not conscious of them, if you're not asking yourself about them, if you're not paying attention to them, what you don't acknowledge only grows. So this is what I say to my beautiful white listeners. Don't be afraid of that part of yourself. Recognize it's something that we all wrestle with. And be willing to look at how you think about people of other backgrounds. And be willing to think about how you think about white people too. Because there's an assumption, I think, of a deserving of the benefit of the doubt that white people do for each other. That doesn't necessarily happen with, you know, across racial lines. And so if you can look at how you do that for white people and then recognize how you don't do it necessarily for people of other ethnicities, then that's something that helps you. So anyway, so that's me and my little rant right there. But so as I said, lots of white friends. It never occurred to me to talk. Like I had a friend who like recommended, you know, that I watch, what's the movie? Gone with the Wind. It was her favorite movie. And I was like, I don't feel a need to watch. You haven't learned the protocol? It's hard because it's not comfortable at first. It's really scary at first. At first, it feels like you're a terrible person. Terrible things have been done in the name of racism. And it's very difficult to get our heads around the idea that having ideas in our head, yes, I agree. Yeah. You have to ask honestly to understand. And it helps to ask ourselves these questions. Like when stuff comes up in your head about a black person or a Latino person or an Asian person or whatever ethnicity, and examine how you think about people when they come into your mind. And then don't justify it. Don't shy away. Don't get scared and justify to yourself the opinion that you have. Instead, examine the opinion for its origin. Okay, I think that this person is super, super smart and probably excellent at math. Why do I think that? This Asian girl who looks like and dresses like a sort of fashion icon. Why am I assuming that she's really good scholastically? Why am I assuming that? Does that make sense with what I'm being presented right now from this person? And be okay with hearing yourself tell yourself, I think it might be because she's Asian. And then drill down into that and start, you know, it's very difficult, but even the thing is that if you are not of color, if you're white and you want to have friends who are, it is important that you do, because I spend so much of my time worrying about how what I say will be perceived, adding in my blackness. I spend so much time trying to make sure that people are not too uncomfortable around me. I was like watching Bill Maher, who, you know, annoys me like an older brother. So just a sec, sorry. So I'm watching Bill Maher. It's an older episode. And he's going into this thing about, you know, some woman who, some guy who got, like, I don't know, investigated or censured or whatever at his work because a woman got on an elevator with him or he got on an elevator with her. She asked what floor, and she's like, women, and he's like, women's lingerie, because I guess he thought it would be funny. And he was really, really annoyed by the fact that people are so hypersensitive. And the thing is that I don't disagree that people are hypersensitive. I do. But I also feel that a lot of people who are hypersensitive, people like myself, people who are of color, we spend a lot of time worrying about what we're going to say and how we say things and trying to make sure it's not taken wrong. And this guy in this elevator, if he'd taken a second to think, he would have realized that this strange woman whom he'd never met and who was now in an enclosed space with would not find that joke funny or enjoyable. But he decided that she could just lump it. It didn't occur to him to think about her comfort. He thought he was going to be funny. So let me just say this. And that is a freedom that nobody has but white men. Everybody else, I mean, white men no longer have that freedom as much, but everybody else has always had to watch what they say. And so, yeah, we are asking people to watch what they say. We are asking people to be more sensitive. And it is not a ridiculous request, especially given all the internal work that I have done just to have white friends who I know have areas of racism in them that I am not addressing. Do you know how hard it is to have a topic come up, have your friend say something kind of crazy about someone, have a very strong reaction to someone that is outsized to who the person is or what they're doing, and you're like, oh gosh, this is their race thing showing up, and you don't say anything? Okay, I know that I'm old. I know the young people kind of have this stuff on lockdown. They would probably never be friends with these people anyway, but I've come from a generation where I was, you know, I lived, worked, played in white spaces. So it would have been like, at the time that I was doing all this, it would have been like asking if the air was good when there's nothing else to breathe. So to have like a conversation but with my friend about Gone with the Wind, the closest we got to it was she's like, oh, you have to watch Gone with the Wind. And I'm like, I do not have to watch Gone with the Wind. But she's like, oh, it's such a great movie and it's my favorite movie and I would love it so much if you would watch it. And so I watched Gone with the Wind. And of course, I was underwhelmed. I was deeply underwhelmed by Gone with the Wind. And so when she asked me about it, I said, I'm sure it's a beautiful movie and I can understand why you like it, but it has, and I was so nervous about how I would say this because I didn't want her to think that I was saying that you don't care about Black people or you are racist for liking Gone with the Wind. So I was super, super careful in my language. I was like, this was like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And I said, well, you know, this time period in history doesn't have the same feeling for me that it does for you. And she said, oh, I didn't even think about that. And so this has been an adventure. Be honest and expect an honest answer. I agree. Now I agree with you. Like, I absolutely agree that it is super important. Because what happened with me is, like, in my life, of the white women who have been my friends, every single one of them, or workmates, every single one, with the exception of, like, one or two, I'm going to say two, has betrayed me at some point, whether it's a big betrayal or a little betrayal. And I was very, you know, last summer, because of all the events of last summer, I was not even like the George Floyd and all that, that is like a weight on my heart that never seems to quite move. Because I start thinking about, like, sort of my, I don't know what he is. He's never really discussed it with me, but he seems a bit gender fluid to me. He's not trans. He's definitely gay. Beautiful, 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 like, cousin I have, who I've adored since his dad married my aunt. And I worry about him constantly. Him I worry about a lot. I worry about my dad, who's getting old. I don't even like my dad that much, but the idea of him being pulled over by someone who is in a mood terrifies me. I have three cousins, former cops, one of them who still is. The idea of the obscenity that he might encounter problems when he's off the job as a result of a traffic stop terrifies me. All of this is what I carry on a daily basis. And the only way I carry it is by refusing to think about it. So I don't, but it's still there. I'm aware of the weight. The stuff from last summer, but mostly the stuff that I'm talking about is personal. Talked about it on this podcast before, you know, how everything shook out with my last relationship and what I learned from it. And one of the things that I learned is that it is time for me to have conversations with the white women in my life where I've noticed that they have unconsciousness about race. And there was one conversation in particular I was dreading. One of them went decently. Like, it went okay. Like, she didn't get it, but she was open and she was loving and she was patient and she was kind, because I was really clear with all of them every time, you know, I messed up one of them, but I was really clear. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have never done this before. I have no idea the format. I'm trying to do this because I know that it has to be done for my own, like, sense of safety in this relationship. So I didn't say that because I was really, really careful not to use any language that seemed to put any responsibility on my friend's shoulders for their stuff, because I was worried about defensiveness. And boy, did I underthink how defensive people would be. Literally every single conversation I've had about race with, like, white friends, where I've been like, okay, hey, I need, you know, this happened and this, I really hope that this, we can, like, I hopefully that you won't do this again because I was dealing with that. And then when you did this, caused a thing. People don't hear you. They don't hear what you say. The words that come out of your mouth, you're met with all their fear and resentment and fear for what you're going to say next, fear for what it'll say about them, fear for what it'll mean if they don't get through this conversation cleanly, you know, without saying something horrible. So they're not listening. At first, they're just really not listening, is what I've noticed with my friends. And So I'm learning how to do this process. So I start off with, I have to talk to you about something and it's really uncomfortable for me and I'm really bad at having this conversation. I want you to know first and foremost that I love you, that I think you're an amazing person, that I do want to, what I want to talk to you about does have to do with race, but I do not, you are in my mind and in my heart, there's nowhere that I think that you're a racist. And I think that you are a good person and not a racist. But I will probably offend you at some point during this conversation because I have no idea what I'm doing. And please know it's not my intention. It is just that I don't know what I'm doing. And that's how I start the conversations. And this last one went really badly. I sensed a little bit of think everything is about race kind of energy from this particular friend. We'd never talked about race. And there was like instinctively a reason probably why I hadn't really brought it up with her. Except in very limited ways and with other people that I knew, you know, how they felt and how they thought, also present. Because I had a sense that there was some heat there and I didn't know if the heat was hurt or anger. And because she was unconscious of it, it made it especially dangerous to have the conversation. So we tried to have the conversation. And when I tell you that she was in a hard, cold rage the entire time until a couple of seconds before the very end of it, like dried my mouth and made my hand shake, kind of hardness I was coming up against. I'm not overselling it. What I wanted to ask a friend who are white is that they start, you know, doing some reading and start paying some attention to some of this stuff, because what I don't want is people walking on eggshells around me. What I do want is that you're engaging with the issues a little so that I do not have to do all the work myself. I did not sleep. I barely slept the night before I had this conversation because I was so stressed by it. And I was trying so hard to make sure that my words were okay. And I don't think she worked half as hard, or even like a third as hard, or even a quarter as hard as I did, not to offend me, as I worked to try not to offend her, which I ended up doing anyway. But, you know, a friend of mine advised me, okay, well, you know, make it about something specific. But my issue isn't really specific. It's about a general, I'm like, could you please wake up and think about how you think about race? And could you please do some, you know, follow some people on YouTube or something and listen to what they have to say about race? And that way, when, you know, we make jokes or whatever, and you make a joke and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I don't know, hey, was that too far? I can be like, no, you're good, I'm fine. Or I could say, a little bit, and we can just roll with the day and it not be a thing. Because believe me, with my Black friends, with my Asian friends, happens regularly that someone will step over a line and you just kind of pull each other back. I have stepped over a line more than once and had been pulled back and said, you know, like, I remember the day I learned that Oriental was not an okay thing to say. and that was not how you refer to people. Hello. It's really obvious when it's brought to your attention, but before it's brought to your attention, you're a bit unconscious. And if I'm obsessed with being right and in the right and correct in my thinking and that I can't be wrong and I'm not racist and I don't have any bad thoughts and how dare you say that to me and blah, 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 blah. When the person comes to me to talk to me, I'm placing an unfair burden on them because I'm not willing to listen. To me, for someone to say that they don't have anything to contribute to the converse, to the topic of race, that they don't have anything to say about it, that they don't think about it, to me, that's disingenuous. To me, that's a lie. You cannot grow up in the United States of America and not have some thoughts on race, because it is put before us constantly, whether in the old days it was in the form of racial stereotypes, or now where it's a mix of racial stereotypes and the efforts to push back against them. It is everywhere. So the idea that you have no opinion, that you have no thoughts, that you have nothing to say, I don't believe that. I do believe that you have things that you think and feel that you don't want me to hear, and that's okay. And this is a cultural difference. And so somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. Because in the Black community, authenticity is like a huge thing. We have like 70 billion ways of referencing someone being authentic, whether you're legit, 100, keeping it a buck. Are you, if they're fake, they're phony, fugazi. I mean, we use that. There are just so many things. There's so many ways we have of revealing our, because authenticity is super important. And we do, you know, if you listen to Black women talk to each other, not like Real Housewives talk, because that is not like, that's a lot of trauma and pain and drama that's you kind of see in on reality TV. But if you're ever privy to a group of Black women sitting together and talking, we say things to each other that you would not believe. Like, there are things that we just come right out and say, because we're keeping it a buck. It's real talk. Keeping it 100. Real is so important. So I did not expect to receive a message from her essentially telling me that we are not really friends, that we don't really talk personally, but if you want to, and I don't have anything to say about race. I have feelings that, you know, can't really be put into words, I think. But if you want to, and if it'll help you, one night we can set aside some time and you can talk about race or other things that are personal to you. And I just thought, really don't do me any favors, because all I wanted to know from you was whether you were willing to engage the topic, and you're just not. And so for me, that's a deal breaker. It has to be. I hate it. I think about it because I keep trying to think of a way around it. But the thing is that these situations that I found myself in where I have been betrayed, the common denominator is me. But one of the things that I have learned is that it is important to have these conversations, because when people are unconscious, their unconsciousness leaves you open to just about anything they may in the moment, out of their unconsciousness, choose to do, because they have no limiter on it, because they're not aware. Thank you for listening. Take care of each other. Good night. Streaming Consciousness signing off.